Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. Our special guest today is Sean O'Toole. Sean O'Toole is the founder of PropertyRadar.com. He began his very successful career as Silicon Valley entrepreneur, working with people and starting up companies. He's a personal friend, and we have gone on trips together down to Washington, D.C. to do some research. And PropertyRadar.com is a big advantage to any investor or realtor has access to it. It helps them navigate the real estate market and find things much easier than you would have any other way. Sean, welcome to our show.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Property Radar, let's talk about some of the services that it provides. And I know there's some lingering confusion. Does Property Radar have additional services and include what Foreclosure Radar used to do? Or is Property Radar? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. So Property Radar is basically a superset. As you know, we started off as Foreclosure Radar, really dominated that market, helping realtors with short sales and REOs and helping investors find foreclosure opportunities. And then in 2010, we decided, you know, look, that's all great, but we want to expand beyond that, you know, help investors find other opportunities like absentee owners and others, help realtors as well find other opportunities outside of foreclosures, especially as, you know, we all knew foreclosures were going to be a smaller part of the market over time. But Property Radar includes everything that Foreclosure Radar had, plus, you know, information now on every property, whether or not it's in foreclosure, as well as all the sales in the area, listings, comparables, lots and lots of new stuff. But it's a superset.
When you say a superset, I'm sorry, explain that.
A superset means, you know, everything that's in Foreclosure Radar plus
all these other features. Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that we know people are doing is they're doing mailers to absentee owners. So is there a way to distinguish equity in the information that you have there?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that we do really well is, you know, with over 100 different search criteria, you know, a lot of people sell absentee owner lists, but with us, even on the absentee owner list, you can decide whether it's absentee because it's the same mailing address or different mailing address, or because they have the tax exemption. Most other companies don't give you that choice. Plus, you can add things like, I want absentee owners who are underwater, I want absentee owners who are free and clear, or that have a certain percentage of equity. Certain sizes, neighborhoods, you can draw polygons around neighborhoods. So like it's about 100 different ways or 100 criteria that you can combine with absentee owners, which makes it the most powerful absentee owner search in the market.
I think that today's real estate investor has been completely spoiled and they have no clue that that's true.
Right, you know, absentee owner lists were just simple and you didn't need to specialize. But you think about that, if you have an absentee owner list that you're going to go target, you know, and you're buying that list from somebody today, and it doesn't tell you, you know, look, some of those absentee owners are underwater. Some of them own their property free and clear. The messages you should be sending when you're reaching out to those folks are different for the underwater person versus the free and clear person, or you may not even want the underwater person.
Exactly.
Yeah, and if you can do a better job of talking exactly to that owner, or they're an out-of-area owner versus a down-the-street owner, and if you understand that and you can segment those out and get the right messages to the right owners, that's going to put you ahead of the competition.
Yeah, a letter to, you know, I'll add another one to the mix, somebody you might want to buy subject to. So you have somebody that's got approximately 10% equity that you want to walk in, and they're not in foreclosure, they're current, where you could literally get a grant deed and take over a payment instead of have a lot of expenses at closing. You would want that mailer to only direct the message to that crowd. And so with your list, that can happen.
And you can even take that a step farther. And this is where this gets, take some experience on the investor side, but take that a step farther and let's target folks who had a foreclosure that was canceled in 2011 and 2012, because those started to be a lot of principal balance reductions, and they have very, very low payments. So you take those subject too, and you've got a long-term, artificially low payment that's going to make the cash flow better on that property than another property that doesn't have that low payment loan mod.
Yeah, it's a very good point. How do realtors use this? Let's say after next year, not a lot of REO business, maybe not even a lot of short sale business. So how does a realtor use Property Radar during good times?
Yeah, so, at the end of the day, as a realtor, I still want to own my market. So it's a similar thing. Let's say, I specialize in, some particular subdivision or zip code. Within that zip code, I still have different people. Some own their property free and clear. Some are still underwater. Depending on the area, we still have people, we have areas with folks, 10, 20% of the folks are underwater still. My message as a realtor should be different to one group versus the other. I have some folks that have moved in just within the last 6 months. I have other folks that have lived there for 10 years. My messaging to those folks, should be different. We help you, your market, your zip code, but how well do you really know it? Do you know what the average home size is? How many people are in that area? And of what type? And are you sending the right messages to the right people? We can help you do a much better job and distinguish yourself from the competition.
And I think unless you've done a mailer, you really don't realize that getting a bump in your response rate is a very big deal, because you're gonna mail 1,000 mailers, and if you think you're going to get 100 phone calls, you are incorrect. You're going to get 10, and if you do something really super, you might double that. And that's all those specific things that you're talking about, saying, okay, how can we make this message seem that I'm directly talking to this guy's situation 100% of the time?
Yeah, exactly right. And then that's going to differentiate. There's this thing called the Pareto principle. Everybody knows it as the 80-20 rule, which is, basically 20% of the people get 80% of the deals. And we joke in real estate, it's the 90-10 rule, where 10% of the folks do that extra little bit of work that gives them 90% of the business. And if you're not getting the 90%, you've got some work to do.
Exactly. How does the government become a customer?
Well, the government actually is a huge customer of ours right now. They still use us everything from like code enforcement and cost recovery, mosquito abatement, lots of different things there. Fraud investigations and other things along those lines. So, we've done well with that group as well.
The states that this information is available in now?
So Property Radar, our new product, has been California only up until tomorrow night, which is July 10th, and at which point it'll be in the same states as Foreclosure Radar, which is Arizona, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, and California.
Okay, so you're really rolling this out to brand new to those states.
Brand new to those states, absolutely right. Now it'll have the same footprint as Foreclosure Radar. We're also rolling out teams so that multiple people can share data and work as a team, and alerts so that when there's a new listing on a property you're interested in, or in an area you're interested in, or one of your clients takes a loan, or all kinds of different things, you can get alerts on that. Or there's a new foreclosure lead, or whatever. There's lots of different ways to use alerts, and those things we've had in Foreclosure Radar. We haven't yet had them in Property Radar, but as of tomorrow, we will.
Okay. I noticed that there's some forums that are lots of different topics online. How interactive is that? Are people watching the questions, and you're getting input from other people that are taking the services, and they're helping people understand what the answer might be for their problem?
Yeah, we definitely need to be doing a better job there. You know, our support team is still probably the best place to go.
Okay.
You know, the idea with the forums was to get, you know, to allow customers to interact and answer each other's questions as well. We've had some problems with spammers in the forums, which has made it a little hard. Certainly, if you post to the forums, we'll do our best to answer. A lot of times I'll answer myself or other folks, and we still do have some customers answering in there as well.
Okay. What's the cost for the service?
We do have a discount for California Association of Realtor members, and we have discounts for annual, which can make the service start as little as $27 a month if you prepay for the year. And at the top end, it's $60 a month.
Okay.
$59.
There's so much of that stuff that I used to have to do by hand that I do chuckle when people say, well, that's a lot, you know, but I know access to information has changed, and I'm thankful for it myself when I do research. But sometimes it is funny how little it costs and how the new generation looks at that and thinks that's expensive. So for me, this business, and you can speak to this, I think I'll ask it in the form of a question. What's become easier for investors and what's become harder for investors, let's say, since you started being an investor?
Oh, yeah. Well, certainly access to information is a whole lot easier. You know, what's become harder probably is the fact that there's so much more access to information. It makes it a lot easier for other folks to compete, you know, and they don't realize how much harder that was just a few years ago. So, you know, it's a mixed sword there, where half of you is, you know, really glad that it's so much easier to get, you know, foreclosure postponement information than it was before we existed. But the other half of you wishes that nobody else had that information, you know, like the old days when you were the only one that the time to get it.
Yeah, I mean, specifically to the trustee sale business, that used to be kind of a small group that had what seemed like insider information. And when you went to bid on properties, there were five people, and tomorrow there were five people, and they never changed. The safe face is the same. And, you know, somewhere along the line now, there, before, you know, when it was really very active, you had 100 people, and you had five new ones every day that the sales, you know, changed. So that definitely changed. And, you know, in a way, certainly you were a big part of that. So you've given a lot of people access, and with that information, they've been able to get up to speed in an industry that normally used to take a long time, and now it doesn't. To get up to 90% efficiency takes much less time than it ever did before. The next 10%.
Just to find all the properties that were postponing, you had to look at notices, you know, at least 1 year back. You had to look at all the notices for the last year. You couldn't just start looking at new notices, because if you did, you'd show up at the courthouse and you'd miss 80% of what was there, because most of them postponed from some earlier date. And, you know, the same thing's true with all this other stuff, you know, absentee owners and, you know, flippers. And, you know, so easy now to research your competition by using, like, our transfer search feature, where you go in and look for transfer searches that are flipped, and you can find every investor that's flipped a deal recently, see how they bought that deal, how much they paid for it, how much they sold it for. Very different.
Yeah, very, very different. All right, let's talk about foreclosure trends. Trustee sales year over year in California?
Way down. I think it's around 60%. I don't have numbers in front of me, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're right. It's down 40%, so it's at 60% from what it was a year ago. Notice a default down about 14%. What's interesting is cancellations were down 64%. So, you know, what happened there?
So you always need to go back and say, okay, what was happening a year ago, and, you know, what kind of program or effort went into effect? And unfortunately, I don't have the charts in front of me, but my guess is, if we're seeing cancellations drop 64%, we had some sort of bump in cancellations probably a year ago. that pushed a bunch through. The year-over-year numbers are great, but they can easily be thrown off when you get, you know, bumps for some reason. You know, some bank who hadn't been doing foreclosure notices because of some process change for 4 months suddenly pushes all of theirs out, and people go, oh my gosh, foreclosures are up, you know, 32%, and it's just this one-off anomaly. The big picture is we've been trending downwards really since the TARP announcement in September 2008, and you know, we're kind of getting at the tail end of that, where we're leveling off at kind of a level that, you know, I think we'll still see it decrease slowly, but probably not decrease a lot more from where it is now. We aren't seeing price increases like we were seeing, that we're getting more and more people out from underwater. I have a feeling those folks that are still underwater right now are probably still going to be underwater a year from now.
I'm sorry to think that you're correct on that. We'll talk about a little bit about that probably in the second, second interview. The upside down owners, that number though has changed significantly from like where we were at the worst levels, whatever that was, 09 or 2010. What do you think of the levels now of people underwater? Is that, even though it's high probably historically, are we at a safe enough level where that's not going to become a significant block of property someday?
Well, you know, I think it's a disaster, right? But it's not a disaster waiting to happen, because we've changed the regulatory environment enough that even if all of those folks stopped making their payments tomorrow, we would never see a flood of foreclosures, because that's just not how the banks deal with those situations anymore.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, the number of people we have underwater, I think, is a significant drag on the economy. Those are all folks that, you know, aren't buying new air conditioners or putting in swimming pools or replacing roofs, you know, the all basically real estate that we're forcing into a state of decline because people aren't going to throw good money after bad. And, you know, I think it's a disaster. I think this far after the crisis that we haven't had the leadership to clean it up is terrible. And, but it's a lot better than it was.
Yeah, it is a lot better than it was. As far as trustee sales, so the people that are in the business of going to the courthouse steps, sold to third parties are year over year down about 48%. So just your take on that, and say a year from now, do you expect that to be more level than down 48% again?
Yeah, I expect it to be a lot more level. You know, the other thing to keep in mind is from a year ago, we still had institutional investors paying even as much as market value for properties at trustee sale because they met their rental criteria, the return on investment,
right?
At current prices, that institutional investor is largely gone, and they're certainly not willing to overpay versus what a flipper would be willing to pay, right? So it still may work for them if they get a decent discount off of market value, but they can't pay market value and get an ROI. So I think that decline in trustee sales, you know, if you were to dig through that, you'd actually see an improvement in condition for flippers with a decline from holders.
So you're saying the spread has grown for the person that's in the business still today.
Yeah, I think the folks that remain down there realize that to make the deal work, you've got to buy it with sufficient margin. You know, you're not going to make it up right now by paying market value and have the market rescue you with a big increase like we saw last year. And I think people are pretty realistic about that. So they're only buying the stuff that makes sense from a flip market, and, you know, the folks that were speculators and the folks that were buying for rental ROIs are leaving.
The foreclosure process in California used to be 3 months and 21 days for the trustee sale process. How long is it now? And I don't mean how long does it take to get to a foreclosure, but literally, what are the rules now? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, so, you know, it's technically still, you know, right around that 120-day mark, but you really, the big thing that's fundamentally changed is the regulation around delinquencies, right? So for a bank to kind of be compliant, if you stop making your payments, you know, typically within, at about 90 days, the bank was required, essentially, to file a notice of default, and then 90 days after that, or it's technically, I think it's in the book, is 3 months, right? So it's not necessarily 90 days, depending on how long the months are, but they had to file a notice of trustee sale, and then, unless there was some mitigating circumstance, like a bankruptcy or something else, they had to take that property to sale. That was just, that was good asset management, right?
Right.
You don't let a property sit if it's not, if the other party's not paying as agreed. And that regulatory environment's changed dramatically, to where, you know, we now see the biggest increase is in that period of time where people aren't paying and the notice of default is not filed. And that's kind of off the radar screen. You can get delinquency data, but it's credit data. So there's a lot of restrictions on its use. And we don't have very good optics into that. The actual foreclosure process has lengthened as well, but it's been less impacted than the delinquent pre-NOD phase.
So when we buy something at a trustee sale, we're still probably meeting somebody at the door that very likely hasn't made a payment in excess of a year and maybe 2 years.
Probably three.
Okay. But they hadn't been in foreclosure, but for the last 4 months, that, or the maybe postponements and stuff.
If the exception will be people who have equity, right?
Right.
So if the property has equity and the bank's going to get all of their money back, then you're going to stick basically to that 90 days delinquent and right through the foreclosure process in a little over 120 days. Plus, you know, you get some notice requirements up front that aren't technically part of the foreclosure process per se, from NOD to whatever, but there's some new requirements before you can even file the NOD in terms of contacting the owner that lengthen the process, but not the process from NOD to sale, but there's a pre-NOD process as well. So if you have equity and you're missing your payments, expect to be foreclosed on quickly. And, you know, if you're haven't made payments in 2 years, and especially if you're in a pretty expensive property, expect it to take a long time, which, you know, is in my mind, from a moral standpoint, is, if anything, the opposite of what it should be.
Exactly. We only have about a minute and 20 seconds. As far as if I buy something at a trustee sale and it's occupied by a tenant, briefly, what are their rights?
So at the end of the day, if you bought it at a trustee sale, what it comes down to is whether they have a lease or not. If they have a lease and they're a tenant, they're not the owner, they get to stay through the end of the lease. Otherwise, you know, it's just the normal eviction process.
Okay. And that is 60 days or 90 days?
Depending on whether it's an owner or a tenant, there's different notice periods. You know, if it's an owner, it's a 3-day notice to pay or quit, and then you get to start. You get to file the unlawful detainer, and then depending on your local court and how backed up they are, we'll tell you how long it'll take. It's going to vary a lot depending on where you are in the state.
Okay. Well, Sean, really appreciate you joining us today. We're going to do this one more segment. Please give your website.
PropertyRadar.com.
And is that the best way to start being introduced to your company?
Yeah, definitely check out the various products there and, you know, sign up for the free trial. It's the easiest way to get started. And I've got a great support team, and they are there at support@PropertyRadar.com or through the web form anytime you need them.
Okay. Sean, thanks a lot for joining us.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.